Okay, so this is an interview with Kenneth Raymond Wright on Tuesday, 9th of December 2014. The interview is for the Canterbury History Foundation, funded by the 2014 Canterbury Community History Award. The interviewer is Kim Newth. The interview is being recorded at 2323 Cobham Street, Spraydon in Christchurch. The interviewer will also be taking shorthand notes during this interview. And this is file number F001. So, Kenneth, I thought we'd start off just by talking about going right back to the start. So, your date of birth and place of birth.
Yes, well, we were living in Little River at the time. My grandfather was hotel proprietor of the Little River Hotel.
And so the date of your
birth?
So the date of your birth?
I was born on the 30th of 1st, 23. Mm-hmm. I was actually, my sisters were born in Akaroa, but I was probably a difficult birth, sort of, I don't think. So I was born in Christchurch. My mother made the trip by coach.
Mm-hmm. And so where did you fit in the family? So you had your sisters came before you.
I was the youngest. Mm-hmm. I was the youngest of the family. I had
So how many brothers and sisters?
Three sisters and a brother.
Right, yeah. So what's your full name?
Kenneth Raymond, right.
Right. And do you know why your parents chose the name Kenneth or Raymond as your middle name? Are there any stories?
No, I don't think there is on this one. Although my father had Lee Bow put into his because he was very keen on family tradition. Grandfather married one of the LeBeau's daughters. Married Lenore LeBeau.
So your father's name was?
Wright.
Right, so he was, what was his full name?
Henry Frank. Right.
Right, right. And your mother's?
Kate.
And what was her maiden name?
Moyer.
Right, okay. So, so I understand you are descended from Joseph LeBeau, who was a Frenchman and an early settler.
That's right, he was
in Akaroa.
That's correct.
And he arrived on the Comte de Paris, didn't he, 1840.
That's right.
So was that descent through your mother's side or father's side? I was slightly confused on
that. It was through my grandfather. He married Lenore LeBeau, and that's in terms of direct descendants of from Joseph LeBeau.
Right,
she and was so. A granddaughter.
And so were they your father's parents? Yeah, is that right? Like, it's through your father's side, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, I think he was quite a local identity, wasn't he?
Oh, his grandfather was.
Yes.
He had the local hotel from 1914. To 1923. He also was pound master for stray animals.
Hmm.
Since then, of course, the hotel has been burnt down and replaced, but the old stables are still at the back.
Right. So that was Joseph LeBeau.
That's descended from Joseph. No,
that was Frank. Sorry, that was Frank.
Frank White.
Yeah. And did he also own, I think you'd mentioned at some stage that he also owned a farm and a brickworks
yes,
and things
well,
like
when,
that
too? Yes, well, when Joseph LeBeau, which descended through his family, owned a brickworks, built a brickworks, and a produce farm as well. the remains of which are still there.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I've got a brick from the...
I have a brick still.
I've still got a brick.
I bet they're all over the place.
Yes, I've got a brick from there. Yeah. And the remains are still there of the brickworks.
Right. And so your other siblings, what are their names that might be interesting to...
Well, there's Frank, or Francis Henry, that's his full name.
Was he the eldest, was he?
Or? He was the eldest, yes.
Mm-hmm.
He also got the ducks of the Little River School.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of boy. And second in line was Selma,
mm-hmm.
Vivian.
Mm-hmm.
And she also got the ducks of the school.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And third in line is Lenore,
mm-hmm.
who's named after one of the descendants,
mm-hmm.
One of the French descendants.
Right, yeah.
And Nora.
Nora?
And Nora.
And Nora.
And Nora.
Mm-hmm. And so were you a wee bit spoilt being the youngest one?
Well, they all say that I was a sport one. I can remember when I was 2 years old crossing a creek on a wood plank with my two sisters, Lenora and Laura, and they were supposed to be looking after me, and I fell off the plank into the creek.
Mm-hmm.
It was my first ducking in the water. Luckily, it was only a shallow creek.
Mm-hmm.
They got a little bit of strapping for that.
Right.
For letting me fall in the creek.
Right, right. And
but I was told I used to chase them around with worms and spiders.
Right. You got your own back.
I got my own back.
Yeah. And was your first school Little River School then? Did you go?
No. I was too young to go to school in Little River. We went to Christchurch in about 1926.
Right, okay. And so...
And father bought a house in Linwood, Stamwell Road, Linwood.
Right.
And they lived there all their life.
Mm-hmm.
And brought the whole family up there. Lenore and Cupy and myself went to Phillipstown School. As a matter of fact, at the moment, although the school's just been closed,
mm-hmm.
I was the eldest pupil living.
Wow.
Still living.
Yeah, was it, what sort of size school was it in those days?
Huh?
Was it what size school was it in those days? Was it quite?
Well, it went to standard six.
Right. Yeah.
And I was a bright boy. I jumped every second class.
Oh, okay.
I went from one to three to six.
What?
In the primaries. And,
wow.
And then I went from two to four to six. In the second grade.
Right.
And then I had 3 years at technical college.
Right. So I was going to ask you, your father, he, I think you mentioned he did shear milking for a time.
Well, while we were down at the devotionals and also the Little River, father was shear milking. I'm trying to think of the name.
I think you mentioned the Thacker family.
Thackers.
Yeah.
Quite right. Was Mr. Sacker, who was over in Little Akaloa.
Mm-hmm.
And the family's still there today, as a matter of fact, Sacker family. And they used to reap cocksfoot.
Oh, yes, yeah. And later in Christchurch, you mentioned that he drove the delivery van. So was that much later, or like did he... Was that the first job he had in Christchurch?
Oh, no, because that was the Depression years and there was no work around. And father worked on the Wimac groins they were building, and he was also greenkeeper at Hagley Park.
So what was he doing at the groins?
Building them.
Oh, okay, yeah.
A shilling a day.
Right. And so he was obviously a very accomplished, practical kind of man.
Father was a what I'd call a little Frenchman. He was short and tough. And he was a very gentle man. He had to be, but mother was a very gentle woman. And she brought up a family through the Depression years. And nobody went wanting.
And you talked about this having quite fond memories of the days he was driving for the Perfection Ice Cream Company.
Yeah.
That you sometimes accompanied him on those trips, delivery trips?
Oh, yes. Well, my brother was finished up being manager of the Perfection Ice Cream Company. And Father spent the rest of his life as a driver. Working life. I used to travel with him.
Yeah.
On the weekends. I used to carry the salt bucket.
Right.
Because ice cream in those days was in a cabinet where you put ice and salt in and made a brine which froze the ice cream. That was in the early days.
Right, and so where did you go on those trips?
Well, we went, Father's round, there was about five trucks who had different, what they called rounds, and Father's round was down to Sumner, and up Ferry Road, and into Sydenham, and back to the factory.
And so he was just delivering ice cream to shops?
Ice cream to shops and dairies.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what years would... How old were you?
I would be... from 7 to 12 when I was on the trucks with
I was going to say, you'd also mentioned that sometimes he let you take the wheel.
Yes, well, Father, on a Friday night, was inclined to invite a bit freely. And we had the loan of a truck to take ice cream and chocolate. That we had a shop at Pines Beach we bought, and it was a weekend business for picnickers, and we used to have a tea rooms and a shop selling ice cream and sweets and biscuits and so forth.
This was your father's business?
Father and mother's business, mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right, and so he had sometimes, from time to time, you learnt how to drive, really, didn't you?
Yeah, well, when Father got a bit tired, I took the wheel. In those days, there was no cops on the road, type of thing.
Mm.
And I drove the truck and serviced the shops that we had to do on the way to our own shop at Pines Beach.
You grew up a bit faster in those days, I suspect.
Oh, you had to.
Yeah. So tell me how you first found your way to Eddie Hegan's school and why you wanted to learn.
Well, I can remember the day that I asked my mother if I could go and learn tap dancing. And her reply, we were down at the beach, and her reply was, I spent a lot of shillings trying to teach you the piano. If you want to learn tap dancing, you pay for it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I took odd jobs and helped Father on the van, and Father chipped in, and at 3 and 6 a lesson.
And why did you want to do?
Well, I saw pictures of tap dancing in the films, you know, Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers, and I'd found out that Eddie Hegan was the best teacher in Christchurch.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I wanted to go.
And he would have been the only male.
Only male teacher in Christchurch, yes.
Mm-hmm. And
I've actually got a book of his life as well, tucked away.
Yeah, I read a wee bit of that. So what sort of teacher, you know, was he? And he mentions the first routine, you know, like he taught the same standard routine to everyone. So, do you remember learning that first routine and, you know...
I learned that he'd always had a buck routine. He taught the beginners.
Which routine, sorry?
A buck.
Oh, okay.
Which is a fast routine.
Mm-hmm.
And continued mainly of steps he'd learned in his... he was a self-learner.
Mm.
And did a lot of cabaret and travelling work in his day. And the dance he taught was English style tap.
Were there many other boys learning tap at that time?
Yes, there was quite a few. Well, I can recall at least 6 boys in the school.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them became footballers.
Right, yeah.
And All Blacks.
Mm-hmm.
So
how many, how old were you when you first started going to him?
10.
And so you carried on with him, what, for?
Until I was 15.
Mm-hmm. So he really taught you the skills that took you through the war, I guess, really, in many ways.
Well, yes, not only did he teach a fast routine, I learned a variety of rhythms, and I was a very slow learner, but a very diligent practicer.
Right, yeah, well, that's all important, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd learn one step at a time and practice it for 6 hours a day for a week. And I perfected it.
Yes.
And I became a perfectionist.
And so, how old were you when you left school?
Well, I left high at 14.
So what high school was that?
Technical college.
Oh, technical college, right, yeah.
I had 3 years at tech.
So it was 1937. Must have been.
Technical thing there, actually.
So was that fairly standard, you know, in those years to leave at 14?
Well, yes, you were still in depression years.
Mm.
And I could have gone on to university, but we couldn't afford it.
Mm.
So I went to work. My first job was at a firm called...
I think you told me George Henry.
George Henry.
Yeah. And that was Madras Street.
Madras Street.
Yep.
For the big sum of 5 shillings a week, which today represents about 50 cents.
Doesn't sound like a lot, does it?
Doesn't sound.
And was
like
that full time? Like what were the?
Yeah, that
what
was
the...
5 days a week and Saturday morning.
And that was a tool making firm, I think you said. So
a tool distributing firm.
Mm-hmm.
From there, I went to Nivens as a drafting trainee in the drafting office.
Mm-hmm. And at some point, was it at Nivens that you tried? Where was it you tried your hand at window dressing? Was that
no,
back at George
Henry? Then I went
from
Nivens to Ballantyne's.
Yeah.
And at Ballantyne's, my ambition was to be a window dresser, but it never eventuated.
Right, because I think you mentioned, was it at George Henry that time when you kind of staged a window display?
I did a window display and I got another 5 shillings for it. I remember going to work that day and one of the men said, "Mr. Henry wants to see you in his office." And I thought, well, I'll get the sack for doing that window display. And George Henry said to me, "Son, did you do that window display?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Here's another 5 shillings.
So that made you think there might be a future and a career in window dressing.
Window dressing, yeah.
Yes.
But never eventuated. I went from Ballantyne's to Cook's. And they made frocks for Woolworths.
Mm-hmm.
They had about 30 machinists and I was training as a cutter.
Right, and
that is from there I went into the army.
Right.
At 18.
So were you already by that stage, you know, involved in shows like before the war?
Yes. Yes. Well, I had from age 15, when I finished with Eddie, I started my own school. My brother-in-law, who was married to my sister Thelma, was a forester.
Mm-hmm.
And he went over to England in the first forestry unit prior to England entering the war.
Mm-hmm.
And left his baby Austin car for me to look after.
Right.
So I established a dance.
I was going to say, what a burden.
Eh?
I said, what a terrible burden.
I established a dancing school in the country. I had a school at Templeton, two schools at Lincoln, a school at Green Park, a school at Tai Tap, and a school at Heathcote.
Goodness, so where were you, where were all of these schools operating out of?
Out of local halls and... I used to do this in a round robin on a Saturday. And I had 100 pupils.
Gosh, yeah. And what sort of ages, across all ages?
Well, they were all school children, mainly.
And so that would have kept you pretty busy, yes. And also, so you also were doing shows on top of that?
Well, I was still in touch with Eddie, and he used to do a lot of entertaining and also in prisons and that sort of places.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going to local Upper Row Prison with him to do a show for the prisoners. That's my memory of that one, anyway. And I didn't do many shows.
No.
Eddie always did a concert at the end of each year.
Right.
So we all danced, didn't we?
And that would have been somewhere in Christchurch.
I was in Christchurch.
In Christchurch, yeah.
Civic Theatre.
Right, yeah. And that would have been like a variety type show.
Variety show. And it was a very good one too. Well, in those days, variety shows and that sort of thing were very popular.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't such as we didn't know the word television.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And did you sing as well, or was it just all dance?
I sang from the first time I ever went on stage. My first number was called Berry Picking Time. Mm. Might have made the costume with a straw, complete with a straw hat. And I won.
So how old were you then?
10 years old.
Right, okay. So you've always combined the dancing and the singing.
I was always a song and dance man.
Yeah. So where do you think the voice came from? Are your parents singers as well, or...?
No, none of them sung. I just had a natural singing voice.
Yes, yeah. In an exhibition of streak, perhaps.
I don't know.
So when war was declared as an 18-year-old, I mean, how did you feel about all of that happening? You know, what was going through your mind? You know.
Well, as an 18-year-old, with a dancing school and working at the same time, we really didn't take much notice of it until you got a letter saying you have to, you're drafted.
Mm.
And it was quite sad. I had to drop the school of there was no one else to take my place, so the school lapsed, unfortunately.
Mm.
60 years later, a woman came up to me when I was doing an exhibition dance in the Civic Theatre after the war and said to me, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "No." She said, "You taught me at Lincoln." I said, "Lady, that was 60 years ago." So there we are.
Yeah.
And I still get people coming up to me, even at my age now, saying, "Remember me?"
Yes. And so, you know, what did your parents think about you having to... I mean, I guess it was a bit... You would have been living at home up until then, would you?
Oh, yes.
So they had to leave home and, you know, all that too was quite a big...
Yeah, that was right.
Mm.
Yes. We first went to Burnham.
Mm.
And then to Addington.
And so...
And I used to dance and entertain the trainees at, in the YMCA, the song and dance routines.
Right. And were you... So you were kind of a cadet at that point, weren't you, at 18? Was that...
Well, at 18...
You couldn't do overseas service until
We weren't supposed to go overseas till 21.
Mm.
But we were training to go overseas in different groups, groups and that sort of thing. And I put on a show at the Winter Gardens. My commanding officer said, "As you're a dancer, you should be able to organise it." So I organised a ball because we were leaving Addington to go to Burnham. So we had a ball and it was a terrific success. I don't remember much after 10 o'clock in the evening. So But it was a great success.
And can you remember much about, you know, how you were trained and where you slept and that kind of thing? Was it all barracks type?
Oh, yes, we're all in barracks.
Mm.
In long barracks with recruits at both ends and NCOs in the middle. They had better beds than us.
Right. And was it long days, like you would have been up quite early, presumably?
Oh, it was 6 o'clock in the morning.
Right, yeah.
6 o'clock in the morning and cold shave and
yeah, so what time of year were you going in as well? Would it have been, if it was around...
Well, I went in...
Summerish, wouldn't it have been?
I went in January. I was 18. My birthday was I was 18 in January.
Mm.
So I went in January, which was summer.
Right. We might just pause at this point, make this our first recording, and then we'll get into... what happens next? So.